Salander sat on the edge of her bed, looking out the window. She could see the building on the other side of the parking lot. She had sat undisturbed and motionless for an hour, ever since Giannini had stormed out and slammed the door behind her. She had a headache again, but it was mild and distant. Yet she felt uncomfortable. She was irritated with Giannini. From a practical point of view, she could see why her lawyer kept going on and on about details from her past. Rationally, she understood it. Giannini needed to have all the facts, but Salander did not have the remotest wish to talk about her feelings or her actions. Her life was her own business. It was not her fault that her father had been a pathological sadist and murderer. It was not her fault that her brother was a murderer. And thank God nobody yet knew that he was her brother, which would otherwise no doubt also be held against her in the psychiatric evaluation that sooner or later would inevitably be conducted. She was not the one who had killed Svensson and Johansson. She was not responsible for appointing a guardian who turned out to be a pig and a rapist. And yet it was her life that was going to be turned inside out. She would be forced to explain herself and to beg for forgiveness because she had defended herself. She just wanted to be left in peace. When it came down to it, she was the one who would have to live with herself. She did not expect anyone to be her friend. Annika fucking Giannini was most likely on her side, but it was a professional relationship of a professional person who was her lawyer. Kalle fucking Blomqvist was out there somewhere. Giannini was for some reason reluctant to talk about her brother, and Salander never asked. She did not expect that he would be quite so interested now that the Svensson murder was solved, and he had his story. She wondered what Armansky thought of her, after all that had happened. She wondered how Holger Palmgren viewed the situation. According to Giannini, both of them said they would be in her corner. But those were words. They could not do anything to solve her private problems. She wondered how Miriam Wu felt about her. She wondered what she thought of herself and came to the realization that she felt mostly indifference towards her entire life. She was interrupted when the Securitas guard put the key in the door to let in Dr. Jonasson. "Good evening, Fröken Salander. And how are you feeling today?" "Okay," she said. He checked her chart and saw that she was free of her fever. She had gotten used to his visits, which came a couple of times a week. Of all the people who touched her and poked at her, he was the only one in whom she had a measure of trust. She never felt that he was giving her strange looks. He visited her room, chatted for a while, and examined her to check on her progress. He did not ask any questions about Niedermann or Zalachenko, or whether she was off her rocker, or why the police kept her locked up. He seemed to be interested only in how her muscles were working, how the healing in her brain was progressing, and how she felt in general. Besides, he had, literally, rooted around in her brain. Someone who rummaged around in your brain had to be treated with respect. To her surprise, she found Dr. Jonasson's visits pleasant, despite the fact that he poked at her and fussed over her fever chart. "Do you mind if I check?" He made his usual examination, looking at her pupils, listening to her breathing, taking her pulse and her blood pressure, and checking how she swallowed. "How am I doing?" "You're on the road to recovery, but you have to work harder on the exercises, and you're picking at the scab on your head. You need to stop that." He paused. "May I ask a personal question?" She looked at him. He waited until she nodded. "That dragon tattoo, why did you get it? You didn't see it before?" He smiled all of a sudden. "I mean, I've glanced at it, but when you were uncovered, I was pretty busy stopping the bleeding and extracting bullets and so on."
"Why do you ask?"
"Out of curiosity. Nothing more." Salander thought for a while, then she looked at him.
"I got it for reasons that I don't want to discuss."
"Forget I asked."
"Do you want to see it?"
He looked surprised.
"Sure. Why not?"
She turned her back and pulled the hospital gown off her shoulder. She sat so that the light from the window fell on her back. He looked at her dragon. It was beautiful and professionally done, a work of art. After a while she turned her head.
"Satisfied?"
"It's beautiful. But it must have hurt like hell."
"Yes," she said. "It hurt."